Have your Bible with you. We love for you to bring your Bible so that you can open them up during the service. Get comfortable finding where things are at. Maybe even write in there some things that you can refer back to during the week. And really just, you know, bring your Bibles. We want you to get comfortable, confident, so that you're not afraid to open in the week and apply what we've learned and share it with others. Tonight, we continue our summer study through the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. This book of the Bible tells the story of one of the most fascinating of all biblical personalities, King Solomon, a man who had more intellectual and more material resources at his disposal than any other in history. We began a few weeks ago in our study, and we learned how Adonijah tried to make himself king by surrounding himself with some important royal officials in David's ranks at a ceremony he created for himself, only to be put in his place when David declares Solomon as king instead. And when we last met, we read how Solomon went about establishing his throne and how he started with cleaning house, dealing with Adonijah, Abiathar, and Joab, the men behind this little coup attempt for Abiathar to steal the throne. So tonight, we continue our study. So if you do have your Bible, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. Otherwise, we'll have the scripture behind me. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married one of his daughters. He brought her to live in the city of David until he could finish building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around the city. At the time, the people of Israel sacrificed their offerings at local places of worship, for a temple honoring the name of the Lord had not yet been built. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. The most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed faithful love to your servant, my father, David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne." Verse 7. "Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father, David. But I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted." Whew, that's a lot of text. Rather than continue reading the next few verses, I thought I'd have some friends of mine come up and tell you exactly what Solomon asked God for. Probably a cool monster, dinosaur-sized truck like Jeff Smith's. Yeah? A brontosaurus with headlights. That's what he's got. Did you catch that? Solomon asked God for wisdom. Wisdom so that he could rule over God's people well, and so that he could tell the difference between right and what's wrong. What a great choice Solomon made. Or should I say, what a wise choice Solomon made. To a small degree, I'd say Solomon was already wise. I mean, he knew that his human wisdom wasn't adequate enough for him to be a good ruler. He knew that he needed the kind of wisdom that only God could provide to be a worthy king. Now, you may not know, but actually Westbridge, in its physical form, exists in two trailers. These trailers are parked at a storage facility, and every week, there's a team of people on a rotating schedule that create the masterpiece we sit in, which is Westbridge. Curtains and tables and electronic equipment. And there are 8 men who haul the trailers back and forth. Well, I've got to tell you what happened. The last time I was hauling, actually what happened was before that we had a meeting at the upper room. So Pastor Scott happened to be in the truck with me. I had the trailer on the back of my truck, and we came over there, and as I pulled into the school parking lot, and as I started coming down the hill, there was this horrible grinding sound. I mean, it was like, I mean, it was just nasty. I said, Scott, my brakes are sticking. They won't release. And then I let it off. It's still grinding. He said, hold on, let me get out. So he gets out, and he gets up by the front of the truck, and he says, okay, pull forward. So I started pulling forward, and that nasty sound happened again. He said, wait a minute. So he walks to the back of the truck, and he says, it ain't your brakes. I said, what? So I put it in park. I turned off the truck. I got out, and I went to the back. And, you know, the trailer has, you know, this tongue that comes out and the hitch from my truck, and they connect each other, right? Well, mine was connected this way. So actually, my truck, the hitch was so rusted. I mean, she's 12 years old. Don't laugh at my truck. It was so rusted that it didn't break. It just bent. And I was dragging the trailer into the parking lot. So needless to say, thanks to Mr. Kyle, we figured that out. We got it on his truck, and he took care of it the rest of the night. But I have a broken hitch, so we had to take it off. So my friend, Mr. Jeremy, said to me while Shanda was away, why don't you come over for dinner? And before that, we'll take the hitch off your truck. Awesome. And so I went over a week ago Friday, and Jeremy started to help me take off the hitch. So after scraping off all the rust and, kind of moving all the things and dirt around the bolts, we started to get going. First, I think we tried a socket wrench and an impact wrench, and really, we didn't have any luck. Actually, not a single one budged. So we added this thing called a leverage bar to the party, and it was giving us a little bit more strength. Man, it was tough. I mean, I think we got one of the bolts to move a millimeter. We were like salmon swimming upstream. I mean, it was just a fight for life. At this point, Jeremy started saying out loud, he started saying, boy, I wish I had this tool. Or I wish I had that tool. Boy, that would make it so much easier. Well, we pressed on without Jeremy's dream tools and resorted to using this spray that's supposed to loosen seized bolts, followed by more grueling turning of the leverage bar. The spray didn't really help that much. This was definitely a two-man job. I mean, you should have seen Jeremy laying under the truck holding this concoction of tools still while I'm on the outside of the truck pulling this leverage bar about 6 inches at a time before we had to take it off, move it, and start all over again. So finally, after a long time, we got two loose enough that the impact wrench, and that's more of an electronic air pressure device, would actually get the rest of it off. So we moved to the other side. And actually, we found the bolts on the other side worse than the ones before. So Jeremy started back again. I wonder if I have this. So he gets up and he goes into his toolbox and he starts searching around and he says, nope. Man, I wish I had that. Okay, so we went back to the socket wrench and the leverage bar. We didn't seem to be making much progress there. But then Jeremy said, get me the air chisel and let me see if that helps loosen and break things up. You know, Ed taught me this trick. So I get this thing called an air chisel, and we use that, and it starts breaking some things up. And so between the socket wrench and the leverage bar and the rust dissolvent spray and the air chisel and the screwdriver and the impact wrench, and I don't remember what else we tried, Jeremy and I labored slowly and frustratingly until finally we were stumped. Enough was enough. We moved away the spare tire, and we got out the grinder and the sledgehammer, and we just cut the rest off. And even that wasn't so easy. All in all, it took us 4 hours to remove 6 bolts. They're only like this long. We did it, and I'm so grateful for my good friend Jeremy. He's the man. The hitch is off, and he promises me when we install the new one, it's going to be a piece of cake. But I'm not sure. I'll have to wait and see. Among the people I've met or read about, one of the things I notice of a person I feel is wise is they ask a lot of questions. They ask questions to make you think. They ask questions to make you learn. They ask questions as a teaching device rather than just sort of tell you the answer, tell you what you need to know, or tell you what you want to know directly. You know, Jesus did this. all the times he was challenged and confronted by the Pharisees, did you notice Jesus used questions to challenge their thinking? So tonight, in tune with this topic of wisdom, I'm going to pose two questions for each of us to consider. Question one is this: what would you ask for? A week ago Friday, if you would have asked Jeremy and I what we wanted, we would have asked for the proper tool for the proper job to get those bolts off. Or even more so, we probably would have said, you know what, God, can you just remove it for us so we can get on to Miss Emily's cooking? It was tough. But you know what? What if you could have anything in the world? What if you could go anywhere? What if you could be anyone? What if you could do anything? What would you choose? What would you do? So what do you think, Westbridge? I'm going to be right back, so don't move that spotlight. What do you think, Westbridge? What would you pick? What would you choose to do if you could have anything? And I want to solicit a few answers out there and capture them on our handy-dandy flip chart. All right, so come on, be honest here. No wrong answer. What would you ask for? What?
A porch.
Torch. Okay. All right, I'm going with it. She's honest. What else would you ask for? Money. Okay. Money. What else might you ask for? Anything in the world. A time machine. Oh, that's nice. Right? A time machine. I could go back to when I looked young. What else?
Unlimited vacation.
I love it. Your dad's going to provide that for you. Don't worry. Okay, one more.
Chocolate.
Huh? Oh, I like her. Oh, man. She's the star pupil, chocolate. I work for a company that happens to make chocolate, so she's sucking up. She's getting M&M's next week, I think. So I did a search of this question on the internet, wondering, well, you know, what do others think? What would they ask for? And I found a lot of different things, a lot of things you might expect, even some of the things you see here. Of course, money. Never to have to work again, which probably goes with the vacation forever theme. Fame. What about this? A job. A spouse. The ability to have children. And what about world peace? Or a cure for cancer? Or healing? Some even ask for superpowers. I want to be able to fly. I want to have super strength. I want to be invisible. Or I want to be able to teleport anywhere. And then I came across this little beauty right here. A sunny field. Here we see Hobbs lying on the grass, totally happy and content. Not a care in the world. Happiness. That's a good choice. Do you want to know the secret? The secret to getting what you ask for? We find it in the wisdom from Solomon's dream. And you can capture this right on your outline in the space provided. The secret to dreams come true is getting in step with the dream God gives you. The secret to dreams come true is getting in step with the dream God gives you. God granted Solomon this wisdom he asked for in his dream. Why? Not simply because Solomon asked, but because it was also in line with God's plan for Solomon. Rather than ask for something selfish, something personal, Solomon asked for something that would help him be the man of God, the king God chose him to be. And God gave him that which he asked for, wisdom beyond comprehension. Solomon was the wisest man. In fact, he was the wisest man that ever lived. Let me read for you from 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding, and knowledge as vast as the sands on the seashore. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the East and the wise men of Egypt, as vast as the sands on the seashore. You ever wonder how much that is? Me too. So I went to the internet to find out. Several of the websites concluded the same answer, so let's go with it. And that is 70, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0 grains of sand estimated to be on the earth. That's a 7 followed by 22 zeros. Yes, scientists do have spare time on their hands to work on such an important issue as estimating grains of sand. Of course, no one but God really knows how many grains of sand there are, but it's safe to say having knowledge as vast as the sands on the seashore is far beyond imagination. Now talk about using all your brain cells. Solomon was doing that. But God didn't stop there. God was so pleased with Solomon's request that he not only anointed him with incredible wisdom, but Solomon got a number of other things he didn't even ask for. Remember what my friends in the video said. They said God also made Solomon rich. He also made Solomon famous. No other king in the world during his lifetime could be compared to him, it says in verse 13. This brings us to another piece of wisdom we can learn from Solomon, and that's this. With God, it's that and more. God granted Solomon wisdom and riches and fame. And he also promised to give him long life if he followed God's commands, as did his father David. This is exactly what Jesus tells us he wants for you and I to have in John 10:10. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's from the Message translation. The secret to getting what we ask for is getting in step with the dream God gives us. And when we do, and when we follow God's plans for our lives, he gives us what we ask for, and more, and more, and more. Friends, God's plan is always better than our plan. He has plans to take care of you and me, plans to give us the future we hope for. And when you and I call on him, when we come and pray, God listens. And what happens next? We won't be disappointed. So I challenge you this week to ponder the question a bit more. What would you ask for? And then as you journey along with your walk with God, listen, perhaps the answer will be provided. Possibly even what you're asked for given. Let's move on to the second question I'd like to put forth for consideration, and that's this. What would you do with it? When you get what you asked for, what would you do with it? I've asked our taters, the drama team, to show us just exactly what Solomon did with this God-given wisdom at the first opportunity he was presented with as king. So they're going to depict the events that happened, what's captured in the second half of chapter 3 of Kings. That was awesome. Good job. The Royal Nintendo. I got to get one of those. Whew. Chapter 3, verse 28. When all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom God had given him for rendering justice. Yeah, it's true. Solomon was approached by two women, both claiming to be the mother of the same baby. And when Solomon suggested they divide the baby in two, which would, of course, would have killed the child, the true mother stepped forward with the kind of love that only a mother could have. She was immediately willing to give up her child rather than seeing her child hurt. And the wisdom from God showed Solomon who the true mother was. Solomon's actions and the response of the people in verse 28, they reveal to us an element of wisdom surrounding our second question. What would you do with it? And that's this. Getting is not enough. It wasn't enough for Solomon to get the gift of wisdom from God. He honored God and God's faithfulness by using it. He used it for the purpose it was requested, to rule justly over God's people for the glory of God. Suppose Monday, when you go to get the mail and you look in your mailbox, you find a letter from an anonymous person. Inside that envelope is a blank check. No strings attached. Totally legit. A check guaranteed to be cashed, regardless of the amount written on it. Did you catch it? Regardless of the amount written on it. Priceless wealth. Would you just take it in the house and toss it in your sock drawer? No, of course not. You'd drop everything and drive calmly to the bank and deposit that little baby. I know I would. So would you agree getting is not enough? Solomon agreed and didn't waste his priceless gift of wisdom from God. He used it. I read a story this week about a pastor who had actually invited a member of his church out to lunch because he wanted to recruit him for a particular job in the church. They'd no sooner sat down at the lunch table when the man looked up and he said, "The answer is yes." The pastor looked at him all confused and he said, "Yes to what? What are you talking about? The answer to whatever you want me to do. I said to myself before we got here that if you have anything that you want me to do in the church that needs to get done, the answer is yes. Now, what do you have in mind? I'm willing." That's just the kind of attitude God wants from his workers. I was listening to the radio this week, and one of the radio personalities was talking about a piece of wisdom she got from someone recently. The statement really hit me home as I was studying 1 Kings chapter 3. So let's make this our final piece of wisdom from tonight's study of Solomon. Don't ask why. Ask what. Don't ask why, but rather ask what. Getting is not enough, but once we get, we should be asking what. Specifically, what would you have me do, Lord? Look back at the list of things we wrote down earlier we would ask for. Or, what about the things in the internet poll that others out there would ask for? Suppose there's someone whose dream was to have loads of money. Probably because maybe they don't have a lot of it now. Well, let's filter this request through the wisdom question. What would you do with it? And look at it from the perspective of what, not why. What would you do with money if you had it, rather than why you need or why you want more or why you don't have any? Remember, the secret to getting it is getting in step with the dream God gives you. And if God's plans were for you to have money, then he would also expect you to know that getting is not enough, but rather that you would be anxious to use it to honor and glorify and help others and be responsible and caring for your family first. Maybe God's already giving you a great blessing in this area. So you've already got this one. You're doing okay. Are you taking the next step and asking what, God? What do you want me to do with it? I know for a fact there's some here at Westbridge who've glorified God in their response on this one. About a year ago, maybe a little bit less, I was approached by someone. And they said, "Mr. Robert, I've been recently blessed with a pretty big bonus. And I'd actually like to share some of that with people who are in need. So here are four envelopes, and in there is a gift. And I would like you and the elders to just choose folks in the church who you think might be blessed by this gift. I don't want any gratification. I don't want people to know who I am. I just want you to give this to them, hoping that God can use it." So I had the honor of handing those things out. It was a real blessing. And there's some treasure stored up in heaven for that person. Suppose you want fame. I'll ask again. What would you do with it? I can't help but think of Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is a football player. He's a quarterback. And I can't think help but think about how he's using his fame as an opportunity to praise God for what he's done and for him to tell others about Jesus Christ every opportunity he can. I think in the same way God gave Solomon wisdom, he gave Tim Tebow athletic ability, charisma, and he gave him charm. And he gave him fame because he knew he would use it to bring glory and honor, reaching others for Jesus Christ. Just listen to a few of Tim Tebow's on-air statements. First and foremost, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's another. On the field, I'm trying to play for the glory of God, but then I'm also trying to give everything I have and win and compete. And so I think more than just winning or losing, I think he, talking about God here, I think he cares about our hearts when we're playing. Well, maybe you're here tonight and you don't have a job. Or the job that you're at, you're unhappy in. Let's use our newfound wisdom and ask what, not why. Let's ask, rather than ask things like why I don't have a job or why I'm unhappy or why can't I have a better one, instead, we ask, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do in my current circumstances? Most of us here have a job. What we learned tonight is we can't take that for granted. And that getting is not enough. Having is not enough. So for folks with jobs, we should be asking God, what do you want me to do at my current job to bring glory and honor to you? Or for those that maybe don't have a job now, God, what do you want me to do right now? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do spending my time on? If your ask was for a spouse or for a child, instead of asking, why don't I have a relationship like that? Or why do the relationships I have, why are they so troubled? Start asking what? What would you have me do, Lord, in my current circumstance? And also, what would you have me do if you were to grant my request? What does it take to be a godly husband or a godly wife? What do I need to learn to be the parent you would have me be? I'm single, Lord. What would you have me do to be the best servant for you? I'd like to ask the band to come up, and we'll close out in another song. So in addition to dwelling this week on our first wise question, what we learned from tonight, what would you ask for? Also be thinking about that second question, what would you do with it? And my prayer for each of you is that God reveals himself and his answers for your life in a mighty way this week as we seek his wisdom and as we follow him in the past that he's created for us so that we will be successful, we will live life to the full, and he can give us more and more and more than we ever dreamed for. Let's sing to God. With me, dear gracious Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the wisdom from 1 Kings tonight. Father, may we leave here and start to understand a bit more about you. Lord, help us this week to know what you would have us ask for. Reveal to us the dream that's in your heart for us. Show us what we're created to become. Help us to achieve the greatness through you that you have gifted to us. Father, keep us safe. Bring us back next week, and we'll be here. Thank you, Father. In your name, I ask, amen.